This is January 20th, New Beginnings.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Now, I do hope that this is finally sinking in to everybody and you realize that you truly are one with this thing called God. That this thing called God had more than Jesus as his begotten son. You and I are begotten sons, and Rhoda and Rose are begotten daughters of God. It cannot be no other way. You cannot say everything is God and then say that you're not some part of God, that you're not a God in the making. You have to bring your consciousness to that point where you feel that and know that as a truth. We're trying constantly to learn more, and we're trying to use our intellect. This teaching is not about the intellect, people. You know, you can go out and read all these fancy books. I was with a person this morning who was telling me she's reading Care of the Soul. Well, that's not an easy book to go through. It's not an easy read. Why they want to do that is beyond me. You have to keep this simple. You see, God is very simple. And we try to make God complicated. We try to make our lives complicated because we use our intellect, or we use this little ego mind who says, oh, let's make things outrageous. Let's make things hard and difficult. And we're also taught that we have to study, we have to go to classes, we have to get degrees, we have to get certificates and all this, that, and the other thing. And then finally, we will have arrived and we will know God and have a miracle happen or a manifestation happen, something will happen. Well, all that's a bunch of hokey pokey stuff. You have to decide yourself what you think this thing's all about. Do you realize anything about the universe? Do you realize that the interconnectedness of everything in the universe, that you have to be interconnected some way? Do you have that feeling that you're always being taken care of? That this thing called God is working in as and through you. So whatever you're doing at the time has to be right. Instead of letting your mind say, oh no, you should be someplace else. You should have done something else. Oh, I shouldn't have studied that, this, that, and the other thing. No, you have to give yourself a break here. And you have to start thinking for yourself. Doesn't matter what Ernest Holmes said. Doesn't matter what the Pope says. It matters what you say. And it matters what you think about yourself and about this thing called God. Because you didn't start a church or write a Bible or have all this information to give to somebody else. Doesn't matter. You see, the whole idea is to learn to think for yourself. Most people just regurgitate all the knowledge that they've learned from somebody else, but they've never thought anything themselves. They can tell you facts and figures, and they can tell you on page this, that, and the other thing. Ernest said this, or this is in the Bible, and this, that, and the other thing. All handy little things to have, but it's not going to get you any closer to God than you already are. And that's what you have to do for yourself. You have to say, I've arrived. I know myself. I love myself. And I'm connected to this thing called God. And I see this happening all day, how things are attracted to me, how my mind is working, so that you can bring into your life the wonderful things that you want. But if you're always thinking, I need to add something to myself, I have to learn more things, I have to be in this 30 years, and I hear people say that, I'm in it 30 years and I still don't know that much. Well, they must be dumb. You know, you can't be in something 30 years and not know something. But the thing I'm trying to say is, learn to think for yourself. What do you think about God? Doesn't matter what I think or what the Pope thinks, or what some religious organization thinks. It's what you think. You see, you must build a personal relationship with this thing called God, because God is impersonable. God treats everyone the same. But your relationship with God can become very personal on your level. You see, on your level. So what do you want from God? How do you want God to act in your life? How do you approach this thing called God? Do you worship? Do you pray? Do you hate? You see, none of that is necessary either. You know, prayer never changes the mind of God. Prayer merely changes your mind. You see, you cannot change the mind of God. That's why we don't go to God pleading, give me this, give me that. No. You get what you want in life by realizing that you're being taken care of, by giving up those worldly desires and so forth, and saying, okay, I surrender, I give up, I let go, I let go, I let God, and then things start to happen for you. As soon as you give up any desire, it will manifest. As long as you're aching for something, you're saying it doesn't exist, you see. You're saying it doesn't exist. All things exist. Whatever you want in life is already in existence. We live, move, and have our being in a field of possibilities or potentials. Everything has a potential to turn into something. So the big thing is, that's that big saying that we have, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. So if you know that all things are possible with God, if you know that you can do this in greater things, and it's always done unto you as you believe, those are the three items. Once you know those, you can read it. Doesn't matter if you ever read another book. Doesn't matter. You see, we read books and so forth. I read because it's fun. You see, it's a fun thing for my mind to read. But my thinking, when I read those books, I add to it, I subtract, I come up with my own story of what I think God is. I don't say, oh, I'm patterning my idea of God after Ernest Holmes or Calvin, you know, or Wesley. If you don't know who those people are, they're founders of churches. Wesley was Methodist, and Calvin, I think, was Baptist. But they're founders of churches and so forth. And then you get a group of people around and you make a religion out of it. And then people start to think the way the founder did. Ernest Holmes did not want, he wrote that book to show you that there was a different way to think. But he also said, this book is open at the top. It is not the last word on anything. It is a word. But now people want to turn Ernest Holmes' work into the final solution. And it's not the final solution. The book's riddled with things that make no sense. Riddled. You see, that's why very few people read that book, by the way. Very few people. Students of religious science never read the whole book. They read the first four chapters and that's all. After the first four chapters, they don't read anymore. So learn to think for yourself. So if you want new beginnings in your life, you have to start to think differently. You have to start to think differently. And one of the ways to do that is to start thinking yourself as not only connected to this thing called God, but that you're one with God. You see? Can be no other way. It's always God acting as Dallas. You see? Always. And the same way with you. That's how God operates. So when you know that, then you start the whole thing of learning to think God thoughts after it, learning to elevate your thinking, so to speak. We don't know if it's elevated or not. It's just a different way of thinking. So you start to think differently about yourself. And then when you start to think differently about yourself, you can start to see the world the way it truly is, and not get so wrapped up in it that you think that the world is real. The world's not real, people. It's just a world out there. The only thing that's real is what's going on in your thinking. It's what's going on in your thinking. The world will always be the way it is. But you don't have to do that. You can be something different. Okay? With that said, say, I love myself just the way I am.
I love myself just the way I am.
Go ahead.
I love myself just the way I am.
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 And I love myself just the way I am. So here, what are we trying to do? It's called science of mind, meaning your mind, meaning the mind of God, meaning this thinking thing that's going on. We all know that we have a mind. Do we know that our mind is not us? Our mind is for us to use, and we never get instructions on how to use it. So it runs us instead of us running it. So you learn to think. Well, my goodness, look who's here. You learn to think differently about yourself. And that's what it's all about, learning to think differently about yourself, learning to think how wonderful you truly are, how wonderful you are. And when you start to realize that, it's a complete difference. I'll use the Baptist Church for an example. I know many people in the Baptist Church, and they've been going 30, 40 years to the Baptist Church. They still think they're going to end up in hell. Why would you go to any place for more than 3 seconds if you thought you were going to go to hell? You'd get out of that organization. But they don't, because they can't think for themselves. You have to think for yourself. You have to say, there is no such place as hell. And there's no such place as heaven, really. Those are mind constructs. And they're done in your mind. Heaven exists within you when you have peace of mind. Hell exists in you when you're in turmoil. But you're the one that's creating either of those positions. You're either creating heaven or you're creating hell for yourself. But you're doing it. We like to blame it on other people, and we like to blame it on our surroundings. But it's always going to be you, because it boils down to what is your reaction to everything. You see, you're responsible for your actions and your reactions to life. Most people do not know that. They think they're only responsible for their actions. But you're responsible for your reaction. So you can learn to react any way that you want. You do not have to imitate the world or become a puppet to what the world is doing out there. You see? I have a friend who always says, learn to respond instead of react to things. Learn to respond differently. If you know that you're one with God, if you know that you're a God in the making and all, wouldn't you respond to things differently? Automatically, you would respond to things differently. So if you're going to all these different things and these churches and so forth, and you're not learning to think for yourself, and you're not learning to change your mind about who you are and about what God is, it's not doing you any good, because you're just learning somebody else's way instead of your way. God will become very personal to you once you become personal with God. Otherwise, God remains impersonal to everything. Just happens that way. So with this idea of new beginnings, you've heard me say many times, you cannot put new wine into old wine sacks. And so many people have so much thought going on, old thought going on inside of their head, there's no room for what we call new thought. You must get rid of the old. Then so many people come in here and they want to say, oh yes, this makes absolute sense, and they want to graft it onto what they already know. They want to graft it onto Christianity. They want to graft it onto whatever religion they came from. It doesn't work. There's nothing wrong with any of those religions. If you want to be in one of those, feel free. But don't think that this religion, this teaching, which really is a philosophy, by the way. It has nothing to do with religion. They just made it into a religion because of tax purposes. They needed. Well, good evening. Now, that's the problem. Okay. So, anyway, back to New Beginning. You also heard me say a long time ago, word, structure, thought. Word, structure, thought. You cannot think without words. So what words are you using to construct your thinking? Are you using words that are loaded with lack, limitation? Or are you using words that are filled with prosperity and abundance? You have to be able to hear what you're saying. You see, that's becoming a witness to your thinking. That's understanding how the mind is working. But it's done with words. Now, you can change words. I often tell people they'll have to get a completely new vocabulary because they're used to using words that structure their thought in a way that is not going to bring them what they want. What they want. Now, along with this idea that words structure thought, the words you use structure your reality. The words you use structure your reality. If you use words like poor, you see, where can you go with that? I'm poor. You're going to stay poor because it is creating your reality. So you have to change it to rich, to abundant, to affluent, you see. But you have to realize that your words structure your thinking and that words structure your reality. Look around and see the words that you use. I live in a dump. Oh, the traffic's bad. This is going on. That's going on. It's building your reality. Now, of course, your mind says, well, yes, but look at it. It is this, this, and this. But it's going to stay there unless you change your thinking about it. And the way you change your thinking is by changing your vocabulary, by changing your words. If you use the same word that you used last year and you didn't get what you want, don't you think it's time to maybe change your words? What are you saying to yourself? What are you saying to other people? You're saying, most people have no idea that their words have power. Words are very powerful. They go someplace and they do something. You've seen people reduced to tears with words. You've seen people hurt with words. So words have power. Words have power. So what words are you choosing to use? Especially about yourself. Has everyone stopped condemning themselves? Has everyone stopped saying, oh, that was stupid of you to do? That little mind that goes on in there, that little voice that says, oh, you could have, would have, should have done something else? You can't do that to yourself. You have to change. And you have to bring it back to you love yourself. That you're one with this thing called God. That your decisions are divinely guided. Your decisions and everything that's going on. You see. So it comes back to this idea that your life is unfolding exactly the way it's supposed to unfold. Can't unfold any other way than that. Now you can do things if you don't like the way it's unfolding. You can change things. One of them is with your words. Stop thinking of yourself as this, this, and this. Stop thinking that the world is this, this, and this. And say, ah, this is a wonderful opportunity. This is a wonderful thing here. And see this wonderful earth that we live on as the magnificent thing that it is. We don't know if there's another planet in the universe exactly like ours. There may be life out there. But we don't know if there's any planet that has all the wonderful things that this planet has. So right away we were giving a gift. Many people think, oh, what am I doing here? Why was I born? Why would God do this? God put you on the most beautiful place in the universe. We have everything here. We have abundance. We have everything. Now, we get into the idea of the world doesn't believe in abundance, you see. There's always plenty and there's enough food and so forth on this planet to feed every living soul. When you know about people starving and stuff, it has nothing to do about abundance. Nothing to do about abundance. It has to do with distribution. It has to do with distribution. It's not distributed correctly. We can do that. We can learn to distribute things differently. We don't do that at the present moment. When we do distribute something, it always goes to the wrong people. You see, look at Haiti. It's still, nothing's going there. I could use lots of examples, but that's the world. Don't worry about that. Know that everything is fine with you. You see, we worry too much about other things and about other people. Always, what do I want? Ask yourself, what do I want? Always boils down to that. So you have to make those decisions. You have to come up with those things. Now, one of the other reasons, one of the other things with this new beginnings thing is to realize that this power is for you. This thing called God is for you. And it's working through you, and it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's doing what it's supposed to do. We think, oh, we have this to do and that to do. If you let God operate through you, God will do the work for you. God will do it for you. You don't have to stress yourself out constantly. I often say, I don't know how to do this, but I know you do, so you do it. I don't have the time, the energy, or the interest to do it, but I know that you can accomplish this. And things get accomplished. So it's the whole idea, and I think we forget this all the time, when Jesus said it's the Father within that doeth the work. It's the Father within that doeth the work. It's that divinity inside of you. It's that connectedness to this whole thing that does the work for you. But our little part of our mind, that little ego part of our mind, says, oh, no, no, you can do a better job than God. Oh, no, 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 you have to do this yourself. You don't. I have to do it yourself, you see. How many people know people who think they're a perfectionist, so no one else can do the work for them but them? They have it all to do. They keep telling you, oh, I have it all to do. Because they will not give up that idea, you know, that they're a perfectionist. They could have, other people could do it. And if somebody else does it, they may do it differently than you do. And that's what I think we're afraid of. If God does, it's going to be done differently. And so that's not the way I want it done, God. I want it done this way. Well, God's going to do it its way, and it's going to do a better job always than you can even imagine. You see. You always get more than you ask for. Always with this thing called God. That's the only way that God enters the world here is through us. And we must know that about ourselves. So if you know that God is in you and God is doing the work, why are you so upset and worried about yourself all the time? God's not going to let you down. No, never. We may let ourselves down, but that's done with our thinking. When we know that this thing is really a power, we hear it all the time. how powerful God is. How powerful God is. Let this power come through you this year. We're just into January. So make a point of this year. My new beginnings is going to start with God and with this power. And if you're afraid of using the word God, use any word you want. But know that you're being cared for. You're being taken care of. You are the beloved in whom this thing is well pleased. But we're not pleased with ourselves. You're saying we're not pleased with ourselves. The whole idea of filling a vessel full, if it's already full, you can't add any more to it. So instead of asking to have more added to you, ask for things to be removed that you no longer serve you, that are no longer there, so that this thing called God can wiggle in there and do something for you. But we've closed the whole thing out and left very little wiggle room. We've come to all the kinds of conclusions that we think are correct, and none of our conclusions are ever correct. None of them are ever correct. So let this thing work for you. Let it work for you. Now, so many people think that they have to study this teaching up one side and down the other. That's an out-and-out lie. You do not have to do that. You have to remember that what? You're being taken care of. You can do this in greater things. It's always done unto you as you believe. These are the things that you want to learn. Then forget the rest of it. Do you want to pick up a book and read? I love reading Emmett Fox books. I love reading Eckhart Tolle books and all. But I use them just to add to me and to reinforce, not to think the way they do. Now, they give me ideas, which I can then go and do something with. But you can't say that one person is better off spiritually than the next person, or more enlightened than the next person. We can all be enlightened. It doesn't take hundreds of years to be able to do that. And it doesn't take class after class after class, and it certainly doesn't take certificates. I know people with certificates all over the place. They don't know beans from bull. They don't know. You don't need it. I was going to say most, but now I'm going to say all. The spiritual leaders. Perhaps I should exempt the Pope. Never had degrees. They never had that and all the education and so forth. We are taught that we need education. You need to know more. You need to know more. You need to know more. You don't need to know more. You need to know less. You know so much that there's no room in there in your thinking for this thing called God to help you. So give up some of that. Give up some of that thinking that you think is so powerful and so important. Oh, well, I read that and I'm skilled in this. I'm skilled in that. No. No. Make this teaching, and make this thing called God, simple and easy for you. Simple and easy. I want this. I need this. I desire this. Here's my list. Now, hand it over and see what God will do for it or do with it. You won't get all the things on that list. You'll get more that's on that list, and you'll get better things than that. Because our mind is finite. We cannot think with the infinite mind. So we say, oh, what do we think? When I grew up, we used to think $1 million would do something for us. So we thought in those terms. You can't think in $1 million anymore. $1 million is absolutely nothing. It's a starter home, you know. Now you have to think billions. You have to think billions. So you see, it's done in our mind, and we get stuck on these concepts that have to keep changing. So the concept of yourself and the concept of God has to keep changing. And it has to change for the better. So you have to know that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. You have to know that you're always moving from glory to greater glory, even when it doesn't look like that. Even when it doesn't look like that. And it's done with your thinking. Words structure thought. And words, the words that you're using, are building your reality. So if you know that, you could see how easy it would be to change those things. Get a new vocabulary. Get a new vocabulary. If you don't think that words are important, if you have a very poor vocabulary, it's very hard to get a job. It's very hard to get a job. People who hold down, I'll say, bigger, better, higher paying jobs, have wonderful vocabularies. They have wonderful vocabularies. It's words, I tell you, are very powerful. They keep people in their social strata. So you can tell poor people talk differently. Poor people talk differently. If you could train people to talk differently, they would be able to rise out of most of the things that the poverty and so forth that they're in. They don't. Because words are structuring thought. And words are structuring your reality. Your reality. So, in the new year, use those two things. If you learn nothing else, learn what you're saying. Hear what you're talking about. What words are you using? Are you trying to increase your vocabulary so that you have a better way to express yourself, a better way to express life? It makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. They also say that aggressive people and so forth, ones that do violent things, hit people and so forth, they do that because they can't find the words. See, they have a small vocabulary. So they don't have the words. So they have to fight out. They have to punch somebody. They have to do something. But if you have a vocabulary, you can release that stuff. You can release it. Very important. Very important. And so many people don't realize that it's the words that they're using that's creating their life. It's absolutely building your reality brick by brick. Brick by brick. So keep it simple. Think of your words. What are my words doing? And you don't have to think about God. And that's a pleasant idea, and that isn't that wonderful, and all this, that, and the other thing. It's a wonderful idea to think about God, but you have to live, and you're living on this plane of action. You have to do something about that, you see. You have to take the bull by the horns and say, ha ha, I can create my life the way I want it. And one of the ways I can do that is by changing my thinking. And since all thinking is structured by words, if I change my words, I must be able to change my thinking. Easy. That's all this teaching is about. It's teaching you to change your mind and keep it changed. Learning to think differently. Learning to think bigger, better thoughts about yourself. And learning to think bigger, better thoughts about everyone and everything. To see the magnificence of everything. But we don't do that. We let ourselves be, oh, this is horrible, this is odd, that, whatever you're thinking, change that and say, oh, my goodness, this is wonderful. And learn to celebrate. Learn to celebrate. You know, I have relatives that are Filipinos. They celebrate everything. It's just absolutely fantastic that you go there and they have banners up and everything else. They're so glad to see you and they make a big fuss and they just celebrate all, you know. I mean, life's a celebration. And that's what we have to remember. Life's a celebration. We put off celebrating to a holiday and so forth instead of celebrating every day of our life. This is a wonderful thing called life. It should be celebrated. You know, as I say, you don't know if you're coming back around here. You know, people believe in reincarnation. But I've never met anyone that has come back. You know. And I'm not saying that they can't. But I'm not taking that chance. I'm going to have as much fun and celebrate why I'm here on this plane of action. Why I'm here on this plane of action. And since I'm given only this small, little, wee, tiny part of my life on this plane of action, I'm going to take advantage of that. I don't know what the next unfoldment will be. Will it be better? Absolutely, because you can only move from good to greater good. Please remember that, people. So many people think that they're going to turn back and do something. No, God moves forward always. God doesn't move backwards. This whole thing, that's the idea. The universe is expanding. Everything is expanding. Your consciousness has to expand also. We're thinking completely differently than humans thought 300 years ago. And we're thinking at a faster rate than any humans before us have ever thought. The information, the stuff that we devour all day long, is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And it's going to get more and more and more. Because we have this wonderful thing called a brain. Now we have to learn how to use that. We can call it the mind if you wish. But you have to learn now how to use that mind. Rhoda was telling a story on the way over about putting money in an envelope and how was it going to get lost? Is it going to do this? Should I do a check? If I put a check in, then they'll have my check number. And if I do this and that. Until she finally made herself stop. That's just that mind. Just driving you crazy. So, what do you do in a case like that? You sit down and say, I'm connected to this thing called God. And nothing bad is going to happen to me. Things are not going to get lost in the mail. The money's going to get to where it's supposed to go. Everything is going to work out perfectly. Perfectly. But we don't believe that, you see. We think, oh no, we have to do something else. I heard a cute story, I'll tell you. There was a famous Zen master. And somebody asked him, well, what is Zen all about? And he said, doing one thing at a time. That's just what Zen is, doing one thing at a time, concentrating on one thing, not letting your thoughts go here and there. So the person who asked the question said, oh, but what next? He gave the answer. The man never got it. Do one thing at a time. When that's done, do the next thing. Do the next thing. It's that whole idea. Start, you see, and something will happen. God helps those who help themselves. If you start, something will happen, you see. That idea of that 1,000-mile walk or whatever that little saying is. How do you do 1,000 miles? One step at a time. But we look and say, oh, we can do a step. We think we can't do 1,000 steps, but you can. So it's always doing one thing at a time, and it's always starting. And what most people don't do is they will not start. I know people have been talking about the same thing, starting something, a business or whatever, for the last 30 years. But they've never started. They talk about it. Now, metaphysically, I'll put this in quickly. It's a little caveat here. Metaphysically, if you constantly talk about what you're going to do, you drain the energy off of doing it. You see, it makes your mind, it makes you think, oh, I'm doing something, but you've dispersed the energy. I'm going to do this, and then you talk about it, and you talk about it, you tell everyone about it, blah, 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 blah. The energy's gone from it. So if you want to do something in your life, keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself so it builds up energy. See, so you're not dispersing that energy out over everything. And you'll see that that works. See, so it's all done with this thing called energy, or this thing called God, which is coming through you, around you. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And that's what you have to know. And if you can feel it and see it. See? But also, let's quickly do this. You have to realize that this thing cannot be reached by the intellect, people. Stop thinking that you're going to read another book and all suddenly have an aha experience. It's not reached by the intellect. It's reached by your feelings. How do you feel? So ask yourself, how do I feel about myself? Can I sit quietly and just be me? Do I like myself enough to sit quietly by myself? Or do I have to have distractions going on? You see? Learn to sit by yourself. It's easy. And then you'll see all the love that comes up. Tons and tons of love inside of you. Tons of love all around you and all. And people are searching constantly for love. And it's right here in front of you all the time. You don't have to search for anything. You have to be it. See, just be love. Not so hard to do. Be nice to people. You know? Just be nice to people. That's a way to start. That's love. I think people have the wrong idea what love is. You know? Love is being kind, compassionate, really liking somebody. Love is giving them your attention. This happens in relationships, you know. When the attention goes, the relationship goes. You must give the person that you're interested in attention. And we fail to do that. And that's the highest compliment that you can give anyone, is to give them your attention. Let them know that you're listening to what they're saying, that what they're saying means something, that you truly do matter. You see? You matter because somebody's paying attention to you. Somebody's paying attention to you. So in the new year, what are you going to do? You're going to learn those things. I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Okay. So with the new year here, learn to really know that you do matter. You matter to yourself. You certainly matter to this thing called God. I say this many times, and it's absolutely the truth. God would be incomplete without you. God would be incomplete without you. Think of that. Everyone is part of this whole thing. We're all interconnected. Think of those things. Okay, I have some cards. This is about the law of attraction. It would be best to categorize the law of attraction as an irrefutable spiritual law. It's a spiritual law, people. The law of attraction. Many people, and myself included, use examples of electricity and all this and that to explain the law of attraction. But the law of attraction is a spiritual thing. It's above and beyond all that we can think about. We can compare it to gravity. We can compare it to this, that, and the other thing. But it's still a way above any of that stuff. Because it's a spiritual law. Rather than a law of physics. One that lies beyond the scope of the probable or the intellect. This thing called the law of attraction is beyond the intellect. You see, you've often heard me say God is beyond thoughts and words. You have to know God. But we want to know God through thoughts. It's not going to work. You just have to make up your mind that this thing called God does exist. Something out there. I have no idea what it is. I can feel it. But I have no idea, you know. And you've all done that. You've all felt that. It is when you transcend your ego, let go of your desires, and stay in harmony with this field. The field they're talking about is the field of potentiality. We live in a whole field of possibilities, potentiality, and that's what you have to do. That your desires can and must necessarily be manifested into existence. How many people in the daytime remind yourself that you're walking through a field of possibilities? You're walking through a field of total potentiality. Anything can happen. The potential, all you have to do is set up the potential for it. Because the field is out there. So when you're doing that during the day, see your different things. Oh, yeah, that. And know that all those things are possible. Because all things are possible with this thing called God. But you have to use your imagination. I use my imagination. When I read any time about the field, I immediately see the field. And I read that field. It's nothing but potential. Nothing but possibilities. Something is coming in. And I'm not quite sure if Jesus said this, but it's in the Bible. And the whole idea is, when you look at a barren field, you don't see the barren field. You see the harvest. See, and most people see the barren field. The harvest is already there. It may take 3 months for the wheat or whatever's in there, the grass, to grow. But you see the potential's there. So when you see that piece of ground, you have to know that the harvest is already there. The harvest is already there. Why is that so important? If I'm doing this correctly, I hope you're understanding. You have to know that the harvest is already there, and you have to be able to see the harvest. When you're trying to manifest something, so many times you only see the field and you're waiting for something to grow in it. You must see the harvest. Always look for the harvest. Your desires are already an on I'm sorry. Your desires are already an unformed potentiality, waiting to manifest into existence. Waiting to manifest. You see. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. Everything in your life is waiting to appear. It's waiting for you to give it an opportunity. It's waiting to, from all the potential, it's waiting to manifest itself. You have to know that. You have to know that. So see the harvest already done. And your life will change. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.